Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Jonathan Fisk here, getting ready for some Worldview Watch, applying what we know to be true from the scriptures, from our prayer and meditation this morning, to the world that we see around us, to join us and help us do this on the particularly important issue of life in our day and age. Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis by phone. Dr. Weiss, welcome to the show as always.
Hey, thanks, Pastor. Nice to be here with you.
So you said we got three major issues here. Two I know, one I'm new to, but all of them very important.
Yeah, let's just take some statistics that just came out for your listeners. It was published in the Genetics and Medicine article here in the United States, and from the Harvard Medical School. And it's very difficult to know how many Americans have Down syndrome, and because the statistics are never quite reported, but there's a professor at the Harvard Medical School that dug into this statistic business, and he said that the number had quadrupled in the late 60s because people with Down syndrome, they have a much higher life expectancy. Now, it's interesting that they estimated that the number of people with Down syndrome living in the United States has grown from 49,000 in the 1950s to over 207,000 in the 2010 and plus years up to 2016. And the unfortunate statistic, however, on this, and this is what they conclude, which is very pro-life, is within the context of elective abortion and the impact that it's had on children with Downs, the absence of elective termination, for example, if there was no elective termination of children with this Downs by their parents, they predicted that the numbers would have gone from, here we go, from 206,000, there should be at least 246,000. Hmm. So that tells you that an awful lot of children have been aborted because of elective abortion. And this has been increased. There's an increase of anywhere from 10 to 26% respectively in elective abortions with children with Down syndrome. And this is all published in the Genetics in Medicine journal. So this just demonstrates to people who are struggling over what do we do if we have been diagnosed with a child with Downs, I will say that some of the blood tests, like PKU tests or alpha fetoprotein tests, sometimes can give a false positive. But be that as it may, my suggestion as a pastor, and you certainly can ditto this, Pastor Fisk, is to always put people in touch with other persons, other families who have had children with Downs, and how they are taking care of. These are children of God, you know, baptized into His death and resurrection. So it's always good to have other people available to help people who are struggling over how is this going to impact our life.
Well, you mentioned there how to help or how to prepare for it. But I think for many people in the culture, the key issue is what you said, right? That these are real people. These are not animals. These are not lesser human beings. The environmental progressive left would say they're a drain on society. What can they help with evolution? And frankly, if you're an evolutionist, they're kind of right, but they're wrong. They're missing the value of human life. And all of these issues, abortion, euthanasia, how we view procreation, it all comes back to whether or not we believe humans are intrinsically valuable. We're valuable just because we are made in the image of God itself. And it reminds me, if I can tell a little story here, my wife, I think this was around the time we were having our fourth child or so, but my wife had, you know, was used to going through the gambit of all these blood tests that they give. And she finally just kind of asked, you know, what are the blood tests you're running? You know, I think maybe we had to do with, at the time we had to pay for some of it on our insurance. So we asked. And they said, well, there's this, and it was all these things that could be wrong with the child. And so she said, okay, so if any of these come back positive, meaning that the child is any of these many, this manifold, it's like 27 tests or something like that, what happens? Is there a way to fix it? Is there a support system that's set up? Do we get in touch with people who have, what you were saying there, in a sense, get in touch with people who know how to deal with this? And the doctor just kind of looked at her and said, no, it's just in case you want to terminate. And she was like, don't run the tests. I don't want these tests. Right? Because the only reason was to see if I wanted to kill my child, which is just awful.
Yeah, I think people have to understand that even the medical profession, other than the AMA, but some of the doctors, and I don't know what the statistics are, but I think it's true from our viewpoint as Christians that children with Down syndrome, it's no longer a child, quote unquote, disability. I'm not even sure what that means. I have a younger daughter who will be coming into my class next week to talk about, she works with children who are disabled. And boy, I'll tell you, she's going to level these young guys who want to be pastors on taking care of these, because many churches have no structure or facilities to deal with children with Downs or any other disability.
Right. Right. No, I want to make sure I clarify what I said there as well. I'm not telling people not to get any of the tests during your pregnancy. No. Right. By all means, talk to your doctor is what I'm saying. And recognize that some of the tests they're giving you, maybe you don't want, and find out what they are. And do due diligence and apply your worldview to that. Two other issues for us this morning,
very quickly, before we get to the one that is new to both of us, and that is the whole issue in various medical journals now, they're coming out because of the spread of euthanasia, primarily over in Europe, but also here in the United States, a physician-assisted suicide as well, is that some people are saying the reason they're doing this is because it's about pain. I can't deal with my intractable pain. But the articles now that are being published are not saying that it's about pain. When they're finally interviewing people regarding this, it's basically comes down to several issues, which I believe from our Christian view of, say, Romans 5 about hope in Christ and surrounding yourself with the community of believers, certainly the family, it comes down to these areas: depression, hopelessness, being tired of life, loss of control, and loss of dignity. So depression, hopelessness, being tired of life, loss of control, and loss of dignity, which means self-worth, and certainly our worth is in Christ. So those are really the reasons now that they're coming out with that I believe from the standpoint of the importance of the body of Christ can help people struggle with this if, in fact, they are aware of this. And so that means within the church we have to be better communicators and helping other people that we know have family members that are struggling over issues of, is life worth living? So I found this very interesting, because pain is usually the one that I've been reading about, but it really is turning out not to be the reason.
And I think that's a really important thing there. So that list that you gave is the reason why people have always committed suicide. That's why people commit suicide, is depression. They don't want to go on living. They don't see a way out. And sometimes this can be a real clinical mental health issue and does need some medicine. This can be other issues, simply as you lose your job. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. Historically, that's why people commit suicide. The whole move for physician-assisted suicide has been on the back of, this is only going to be the elderly who are in deep pain, someone who's got a sickness that they're going to die anyway, and it's just to spare them pain. That's the only reason we're going to do this. And now what you're saying is that what we're seeing instead is it's just becoming a freeload for those who want a quick way out of the suffering of this life. And I guess, again, if I'm an atheist, I can't really blame people for that, but I'm not an atheist. I'm a Christian. and so it just it's not valuing their own life and not knowing how valued they are by the God who made them.
Well, and I think we need to do more Bible studies, Pastor, on suffering and that God is not at a distant, like Bette Midler said, that he's alive in our suffering. He's the resurrected Christ. He's there. And we need to focus on improving the care of most patients. I always like to say we do not provide care. That tends to be, from my viewpoint, a lunch bucket sort of a thing. What can I take out at the moment? But we are to care, and that covers a whole panoply, especially the use of the body of Christ, the community of believers. Like Paul says, when one suffer, all suffers. That's why I think our teaching has to certainly continue to be speaking more on what suffering is within the context of the scriptures, back to the basics, and then also including how can we as the body of Christ, when we find out other members are hurting over various things, without certainly breaking confidentiality, but also be involved in taking care of those people within our body.
Two more minutes here. What was the last issue?
Yeah, the last one is they're recreating the womb of preemies. They have now created a womb They've moved a step closer to what's called ectogenesis, living outside the body. That is, people are calling this brewing babies in artificial wombs. This is being published in some journals. This is it's a similar situation for babies in the last 2 years. They have been successful in keeping, now this is fetal lambs, they have grown them and they have actually birthed them, breathing amniotic fluid normally into the womb, heart pumping, et cetera, umbilical cord, and they are living outside the womb now. And they have done this with lambs, and they are now ready, they believe, within 2 years. This is much quicker than I thought this would happen, because I talk about artificial wombs in my classes. But within 2 years, they believe that for children within the 22 to 24-week period of their development, that they will be able to take these children who are about a pound and a half, 600 grams, and have a success rate instead of maybe 15%, up to 30 to 50% survival rate doing artificial wombs. Of course, then comes the issue of the slippery slope.
Right. It's sticky. It's going to be sticky because you can do something good with this, but you can do something bad with this.
Yeah, this is back to the city and Tower of Babel. Good technology, bad use, but also then you got Noah and the Ark. Good technology, but that was to the glory of God. So one has to always be tuned in to the abuse and use of technology. Like Paul says, whatever you do to the glory of God. And that's all, you know, I would encourage our readers to go back to 1 Corinthians 6:12 and 1 Corinthians 10:22, 23 about this and study those issues that he's talking about. But these are the things that are developing, and I never thought, you know, people say never thought it would happen, but here you have now artificial wombs, and this is developed now for neonatal care practices, but they're also saying, what's that going to open up down the road in terms of artificial wombs so women can visit their babies as they're growing so they can keep their jobs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, right. So it's a chance to rejoice at the salvation of some life, but it's also one step closer to, the government's just going to raise the children for us in some laboratories while we all serve as workers in the great, glorious workers' paradise, or something to that end. My guest, Pastor Bob Weiss, he's over there at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis talking about life issues every Monday at 7:40 on Worldview Watch. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
My pleasure. God's peace to you and your listeners.
Bye-bye. Amen, amen. It's been a good morning. And that's some good news, right? If you are a parent who might have a preemie, that child's life might be saved. But we live in a dark age where even a good tool like that can be put to the wicked use of separating people from their children. It's all the more important, then, that you know what you believe and why you believe it, both the law and the gospel of God, that you rest your assurance not on fixing this present darkness, not on making this evil age into a good one, but on the fact that Jesus Christ has overcome the world in which we see. And then knowing that, living as a sojourner in this age, looking forward to the life of the world to come in such a way that you know the goodness of that life is what we want to pursue and do for others here. You're listening to His Time. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.